Who is this Jesus? Paul said, let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind that was in Christ Jesus. Let the mind of Jesus be in you. You know, that's a deep theological sentence. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And to be honest with you, with our minds, we exercise the power to reason. It's with our minds that we conceive ideas or make future plans. With our minds, we debate and deduce who we are. We come to reasoning in our minds. We even decide whether we judge something as good or not good, and we do that in our minds. And Paul said, let the mind of Christ be in you. A mind that reasons like he reasons. The mind that conceives like he conceives. The mind that judges all things as he would judge all things. I believe today that we have a serious problem. I believe there's a lot of people who claim Christianity but do not think like Christ would think. They do not operate as Christ operates. They do not reason the way Christ would reason. And I don't blame you. I don't blame any lay person in a church, but I blame the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there's been a serious decay in the pulpits of America. The pulpits today do not propagate Jesus the way he is supposed to be put out there. They package him in different packages and they make him palatable for every person that comes in the door. And we can't do that. I don't want to preach to you a palatable Jesus. I want to preach to you Jesus, and I want you to accept who he is, what he is, what he stood for, and who he is, and just the real Jesus. No strings attached, no pretending, no games, no fooling around. Just the real Jesus. I believe that if the real Jesus was here today in America, most churches would not invite him to come minister. Because he would clean the house out, church. He'd clean the place up. The King of righteousness, the light of the world, would shine light upon darkness and say what is darkness and what is not. He would say what is right and what is wrong. He would call sinners to repentance. He would love them, but he'd call them to repentance, just as he did on this earth. And I don't think that we can remember Christ in communion unless we know who he is. Who is he? Who is this Jesus? Who are you giving praise to? Who are you patterning your life after? Who is this Jesus Christ? It was about 12, 13 years ago, I could literally use Jesus as a way of just simply using his name and his actions as a way to stop people from making bad moral mistakes. I could use Jesus to stop horrible conduct that is against the Word of God by just simply saying, think about it, would Jesus go there? Would Jesus do that? Would Jesus be a part of this? And just by simply saying those words, people would say, well, of course Jesus wouldn't go there. Well, of course Jesus wouldn't do that. And then they would simply automatically say, well, that can't be right for me because I'm a Christian. I should be Christ-like. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't participate. But today I can't say that because many people's Jesus will do the things that the Word of God does not let us do. Because the Jesus of culture accepts all things and says everybody is welcome. Jesus has gifts for you. He's got this gift of mercy and grace. You don't have to worry about anything. Just come to Jesus and he'll give you mercy and grace. And that is true. But where they go wrong is that they don't propagate it right. Why is he giving you mercy? Because there's a judgment to come. Why is grace necessary? Because you couldn't attain it by yourself and there's a judgment to come. There's got to be a healthy message of who Jesus is. And if you don't know who he is, then you're just worshiping a figment of your imagination. And I believe that's why many people's worship isn't really meaningful, because it's shallow and it doesn't have any depth in it. This is why we like songs that say the same thing over and over again, and we sing them for 45 minutes and preach for only 10 minutes, because there's no doctrine of who Christ truly and really is in our lives. I should be able to tell you when you ask me questions, should I go to the bar? And if I say to you, would Jesus go to the bar and sit on a bar stool and try to witness to people on a bar stool? You should be able to, without question, without any reasoning of your mind, if you're born again, you should be able to say, no, he would not participate in such sins. Jesus did eat with the sinners, but he never sinned with them. Never. And any time you see the sinners came to Jesus, Jesus willingly accepted them. I believe that the Jesus of culture makes Jesus this Santa Claus. Come to Jesus, he'll make you happy. Well, what happens when the sadness comes? Because there's a time for grieving. There's a time for valleys, there's a time for mountains, there's a time for everything in God. And what happens when that happens to many people's lives, where they've been preached that Jesus will make them happy, and what happens when the happiness is gone? They fall away and they don't serve God anymore, because they've served God on this preconceived idea that Jesus is there to make me happy. But if you serve Jesus because he is God, and because you love him, and because he deserves you, and because he died for you, there's a whole nother reason for serving Jesus. And when the storms come, you can still serve God, because he's God, because he's almighty, because he's worthy, not because he's going to make you happy. One preacher put it this way. He said, Jesus didn't come to give you gifts. He is the gift. He is the gift. He is the very thing that brings you life. It's not about serving him for his many blessings. It's about serving him because he deserves your service. Let this mind be in you. Do you reason like he reasons? Do you think like he thinks? That's a good question. And there's so many avenues that I can go, and I can't exhaustively go through the mind of Christ, but I've broken it down into three very basic areas. And on these three areas, I could spend weeks and months on one area alone, but I'm just gonna condense it, okay? Because we have to take communion today. But what is the mind of Christ? What is Christ thinking? The very first thing that you need to understand about your Jesus Christ is that he obeyed God's commandments. He said, I have come to please the Father. What is the mind of Christ? Obey God's commandments. I do not understand the philosophy that is being taught today that, oh, well, we don't have to follow that. That's the Old Testament. My Jesus said, it is written. Where did he come up with that? In the New Testament or the Old, church? What did he use to fight off the enemy? The word of the living God that he had at the time, which we call the Old Testament. Did Jesus come to abolish the old? No, he came to give us a new, but the new is wrapped up in the old, like the old is wrapped up in the new. There is no segregating of God's word. He said, I come to give God and submit and to follow his commands. He submitted to God's word. He used God's word. He quoted God's word. He told the Pharisees, don't you know it's written about this thing? Jesus used God's word and he obeyed it. If Jesus would have broke one of the commandments in the Old Testament, his sacrifice would have been in vain. But he came and he had this mind, obey God. Let me ask you this morning, is your mind like Christ's mind? Is your heart like Christ's heart? Do you want to obey everything God tells you to do? Will you obey it? Will you humble yourself? Will you submit to God's word? The question can only be answered by you. I cannot force you to serve God, but I can sure tell you that that's how you got to serve him. Amen? I can't tell you to do it, but I sure will be an example for you to show you how you should. Amen? I may not be a perfect example, but I sure am trying my hardest to obey everything I know in that book. And when I find something that gets in my skin and tells me I got to change, I do my best to change it. And there are times I've humbled myself before some of you when I did not have to humble myself before some of you, but I did it for the gospel's sake, because my Bible tells me to live at peace with all men, if at all possible. And so I've done things just so I can follow that word. You as Christians should have the mind of Christ. God say it and I'll do it. Amen. He submitted to God's word. He let God's word be his life. He said it's written. He's come to follow his word, to be a fulfillment of it. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. What is the fulfillment of the law? Let me get this in your hearts now. What part of the law do we follow, and what part of the law has been fulfilled? When it comes to the moral conduct of the law, it belongs to you to follow. You hear me? The moral conduct of the law belongs to you to follow. When God said in Deuteronomy that he did not want his people cross-dressing, he meant it. Women be women, men be men. That's what he meant. In his law, when he said don't go out there and fill yourself with perversions of lust and promiscuity, he meant it, and that is in the law, just like it's in the New Testament. It's still God's word. It does not change. What is it that Jesus fulfilled? He fulfilled the sacrificial end of the law, where we as Christians could not make that up. We could not fulfill the sacrifice that was necessary so that we could obtain forgiveness. Everything we did was few, was empty. It had no life. It had no changing power. But Jesus' blood has the power to transform you. Where the law was weak, Jesus came in with a strong right arm and brought about redemption for you and I. God's word, he submitted to it. He preached from it. Where did Paul formulate his sermons? From a New Testament? No, sir. From the old. Where did Peter preach from? From the new? No, sir. From the old. Where are these men of God getting their word from? From Isaiah, Jeremiah, from all the minor prophets, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. They're preaching his word. They're formulating a New Testament. But all of it is birthed in the old. Jesus not only obeyed God's commandments, but he also submitted to the work of the Father. When he was 12 years old, his father and mother was with an entourage of family members, and they forgot Jesus. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's 12 years of age, and they already travel a day or two journey away from him. And when they find out Jesus isn't with Uncle Dave, they decide they got to go back and get Jesus. And so they head back, and they're worried sick about where Jesus is, because Jesus is supposed to be the family, but he's not with the family. And when they get back there, they're surprised to find him in the temple, expounding on the things of God, listening to the religious people that are there. And the Bible said that the people that were there were astonished at his wisdom and knowledge of his age that he was at. But he was 12 years of age, and his mother and father said, "Why have you done this to us? How come you've stayed?" And he said, "Don't you know I must be about my father's business?" He was 12 years old and knew who he was working for. He knew who he was representing. He knew who he belonged to. Let me ask you, church, do you know who you belong to? Do you know who you're representing? Because if you're representing him, you better represent him right. Because if you don't represent him right, He'll deal with that later. Jesus said, it's better for a person who offends one of my little ones to have a millstone cast around their neck and thrown in the deepest sea. Because he don't want anybody misrepresenting who he is. Amen? God's word. He obeyed God's word. And I could preach forever on examples, giving you examples of his obedience. He was baptized unto obedience. He went to the cross unto obedience. He died unto obedience. He accepted. His blood was an acceptance unto God through the obedience of Christ. There's so many things I could go, so many avenues I could show you that his mind was wrapped up in obeying God. You got to understand something. No one likes to hear, you better obey. Especially adults. Try to tell a full-grown man, obey! Come on now. If I was sitting in your seat, I'd go, well, you obey, preacher. Come on now. Come on, men. You understand what I'm talking about. That little bit of pride rises up inside of you because it means you have to submit your will to the will of him that is calling you. You have to say, okay, when you get hired onto it for a job, you don't do what you want to do. You do what your employer tells you to do. Amen. If you don't, what's he do? He fires you. That's what he does. When you don't show up to work or church, you get fired. Just slipping some jabs in a little bit. You love me no matter what. I know you do. You put up with me. But out of obedience, his mind was to obey Jesus. Jesus' mind was to obey God. His mind was not only to obey God, but his mind was to serve others. We're so busy serving ourselves, we don't know how to serve others. Jesus didn't come to be served. He said, I came to serve. What's his mind? His mind is to serve you. His mind is to give you what you can't attain. His mind is to be that example to you that you need in your life. His mind is to give you where you, to teach you things you don't even know. And some of you are so far today than you were the day you got saved, and Jesus has been teaching you those things. He's serving you, and he's been serving you. He's been serving you with his grace and his mercy, with his love and his compassion, with his sympathetic actions towards you. He has been serving you for many years. Some of you should have been dead years ago, but out of the service of Jesus Christ, here you are this morning. He wanted to serve others when people didn't want him to serve others. Remember when the children came to him? Well, you know, all these kids are causing a ruckus. Get them out of here. Suffer the little children. Come on, my seniors, you understand. Get them kids. They're going to quiet them kids down. Making a ruckus in the house of God. Come on now. Don't you go beating on the apostles when you do it sometimes yourself. Amen. Well, they just cause, they cause messes. They get things broken around here. They need to quit messing around. They wax the curb so they could slide on them with their tickets and toys. Come on now. But Jesus came to serve, and he said, let the children come. Let the children come. That's his mind, to serve others. Not just adults who can pay tithes, but even the children who don't even understand the concept of paying tithes. He served them no matter what. He loved them no matter what. He came to serve sinners. He ate at many people's house that many people thought were unworthy to eat at their house. One man, he ate at his house, and a woman came in who had been such a woman of iniquity that when she came in, she had an alabaster box with ointment on it. She teared up his feet and wiped his feet with her hair, broke the alabaster box, and everybody started ridiculing. Jesus said, if Jesus knew what type of woman this is, he wouldn't let him touch her. But Jesus said, listen here. He said, whoever's forgiven much, it loveth much. And this woman who has sinned greatly, loves greatly. And he said, you didn't even wash my feet, but she is washing my feet with her tears. And Jesus praised her, and he forgave her because he came to serve sinners. Some people try to say because of the stance I take on certain things that I'm a hater or that I don't agree, that I'm not tolerant. You better believe it, brother. Sin is sin, and I am not tolerant with sin because the mind of Jesus Christ was not tolerant for sin. It did not love sin. It loved the people who were in bondage to it. Jesus loved the sinner, but he always cleansed the sinner from their sins. He received them. He was sympathetic to those who even rejected him. Remember on the cross when they're rejecting him? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Remember when he stood on the hill and he said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her brood. I would have gathered you, but you would not. He was sympathetic with those who rejected him. That was his mind. You know, preacher's mind today, when someone rejects the word of God, they take it personal and they get mad and they get mean. That's not the mind of Christ. Amen? It's very difficult on preachers when people reject God. Look at Samuel. When Saul rejected, when they rejected Samuel and wanted a king, Samuel took it personal as the prophet. He said, they're rejecting me. They're rejecting me. And God said, no, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. But how it's difficult for preachers to understand sometimes that Christ's mind is to be sympathetic with those who reject him. Jesus, in service to others, he rebuked with love. Jesus rebuked many people. Try to go to many churches in America and hear the rebuke of a preacher today. Amen? It's hard to find someone who's going to tell you right from wrong. They'll point out a bush, but they'll never talk about the bush. I'm the type of preacher who cuts a bush down. So if you got bushes in your life, beware, bush. I trim real well. Amen? There's a lot of things that are tolerated, but Jesus rebuked people with love, and sometimes he rebuked them with fervency. With love, he rebuked people that were in the wrong and telling them that they needed to make things right. Remember when the rich young ruler came to him? The Bible said Jesus looked at him and loved him and told him to go sell all he had, come follow him. He was rebuking him for the things that he was putting his love in. And he went away sorry because he loved those things more than he would love Jesus, and so he could not surrender to God. Remember when Peter said, oh, you're not going to the cross? Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan! Peter. Amen? Peter shivered in a jerk. Oh, I'm not Satan. But he was using him at that moment. And Jesus rebuked him. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He called them whited sepulchers. Really pretty things on the outside full of dead men's bones. But still in service to others. His rebuke was in service to others. He endured contradictions in service to others. He was grieved at man's sins in service to others. The many hours, think about the many hours he had to have spent healing the sick. The Bible said that there were times where he healed them all. We have about 180 people who will come up, and I only pray for maybe a quarter of you when you need healing, and you'll come up here and we'll spend 2 hours, 3 hours praying for people to be healed of sickness, laying our hands on them. Jesus laid his hands on whole towns and they were healed. Think of the hours that went into ministry and service to others. Think of the times that he spent teaching people throughout the 3 years. John said that if they recorded everything that Jesus did in service to others, that the books could not contain it. So many things he did, but that's the mind of Christ. Serve others. And just so he could solidify his belief in serving others, at the Last Supper with him and the disciples, they were all debating on who's the best in the kingdom. Peter said, well, I walked on water and you didn't. I think I'm better. I was one of the three that Jesus takes away. When you guys are all sleeping, he comes and wakes me up and takes me up on a hill, and I got to see him transfigured. You didn't. Amen? They were debating over who's better, who's greater. Jesus gets up from the table, grabs a towel, wraps it around his waist, walks over to his disciples, and he gets a bowl, and he gets on his knees. The Son of the living God gets on his knees, and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. He's showing them what it's all about, that it's about service to God. It's not about being better or greater. It's about service. And he served them by showing them. Peter said, oh, you can't do that, because in Peter's mind, he couldn't humble himself to that point. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, then you're not with me. Oh, wait a second. My feet, my head, my hands, give me a bath, Lord, I'll take it. Amen? Because he knew that he wanted to be with Jesus. But Jesus was teaching him service to others. But then not only is that the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ was to obey God's commands. The mind of Christ was to serve others. And then the mind of Christ was close intimacy with God. Close intimacy with God. He was zealous for the house of God. That's what the Bible says about him, that his zeal hath eaten him up. Remember when he came into the house of God and they made it a den of thieves and robbers? The zeal hath eaten him up. And he flipped the money changers over and he drove them out with a whip. And he got them out of the house of God because they made it a place for thieves to dwell. And he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Why? Because he's emphasizing intimacy with God. That's his mind. That's how he thinks. Intimacy with God. Many times in his ministry, we read how he would steal away and pray all night long. The Bible said that for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and prayed, and the enemy came and tempted him. But in communion with God, he was able to overcome the temptations that came his way because he was close to God in communion. He was even firm against temptation. He was able to withstand it because of the communion with God. I'll tell you why you cannot overcome sin. It's because communion with God has faltered somewhere. Amen. Every time in your life when you were close to God, you can remember revival coming. And every time in your life when you were not close to God, you remember that you made a lot of mistakes. Amen. I can give you personal examples in my own life to prove that fact is true. But communion with God, it gave him a firmness, an ability to stand. He even taught his disciples how to pray. He was teaching them how to commune with God. He was teaching them how to commune. Jesus taught unity when he prayed. Remember when he was in the garden in the Gospel of John chapter 17, he's in the garden and he says to the Father, Father, we are one. Just like you're in me and I have you in me, I want my disciples to be one like we are one. That's what he said, that we might be one together. He taught unity in his body. He taught it, and unity is what facilitates intimacy with God. How are you going to follow God if you're not united under his banner? Amen. How are you going to say, I serve him, but yet you don't obey him? How are you going to say, I'm a believer, but yet you don't live like a believer? How can you say, some people ask the question, would Jesus go there? Would Jesus do it? Because they would say yes, because they don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what he's done. They don't know what he stood for. They don't know what his mindset is. They have no clue who he is. And because they don't know, they go about making horrible decisions. I'm going to go out on a limb and it might break. But I'm going to go there anyway. Listen, it's about tattoos. So if you have tattoos right now, don't worry, I ain't beating on you. All right? But I'm going there anyway. Knowing the mind of Christ, could you see Jesus in a tattoo parlor saying, hey, put a cross right there. I want to represent. Could you see him doing it? Then should his believers do it? The Bible says in the Old Testament, do not ink and mar the body. It's the moral conduct of the law. But many people say, that's the Old Testament. We don't have to follow that. Again, ignorance to the Word of God. No. We used to wear bracelets, t-shirts, WWJD. What would Jesus do? One great preacher at Bible college got up and said, I don't think any of you know what Jesus did because you don't live like him. Told that to a bunch of Bible college students. Said, I've watched your conduct out here. Jesus wouldn't do the things you do. I don't think you have a clue what he did. Amen? We as Christians should represent Jesus right. How in the world can you take communion worthily and not represent him right? I would tell you that if you aren't living for Christ like you know you should, don't you dare take communion today. Because you take it unworthily. Communion is for the body of Christ, not the people who are Klingons to the body of Christ. Amen? We call those cysts, and sometimes they got to get cut off unless they get right. Amen? Well, that went a little far, but it went good. Praise the Lord. Honey, come to the piano. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? You should ask yourself that question. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Because if you can't answer that truthfully, that he's your Savior, your Lord, your King, that you give service to him, that you humble your will to his will. If you can't say that, then today you need to repent. You hear me? Today you need to repent. I don't care if you're an adult. I don't care if you're a child. I don't care. Every person on this planet who does not submit to the will of God, they should submit right this very minute. Right now. Right now. God, I want to be like your son. I want to be like your son. Let this mind be in you. Reason like he reasons. Conceive ideas like he conceived ideas. Think like he thinks. Act like he acts. One preacher said that if our whole life focused around that one verse, do everything that pleases the Father. If we focused our life on that, do what we know to do to please the Lord, we would live in such peace, in such blessedness, that even the storms of life and the trials that come would just seem but fading times in the distance, because God would be there with us. But how often do we miss the things of God? Because we have not had the mind of God. Amen? We need his mind, church. Before I go into communion, is there anybody who wants to submit to Jesus right now? You want to give everything to Jesus Christ. You want to submit your will to his will. If you haven't already done that, this is your opportunity right now to come to Jesus. Wholeheartedly, 100%, say, okay, Lord, I'm coming. I'm submitting my will to your will. I already know you, brother. You're already saved. Brother Tom. Anybody else? There's one right there. Two people asking right now to say, okay, I'm going to submit my will to his will. I'm going to humble myself before the Almighty God. Anybody else?
right now. I'm done running. I'm done playing games. I'm done fooling around. I'm going to submit to His will right now. There's another hand right there. Church, bow your head with me. For those that raised your hand, I want you to agree with this, and I want it to be your prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask for forgiveness. Oh, God, there's so many things that I need you to forgive me of. So many sins, so many things that I have not submitted to you. And right now I submit to you my will to your will. Let your mind be in me. Let your mind be in me, God. Transform me by the renewing of my mind. Let me think like your Son thinks. Let me act as your Son acts. Father, forgive me for the times that I have not acted like your Son. Forgive me for not following your word wholeheartedly. Forgive me, Father, for not being in service to others. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. Cleanse me of all sins. Make me a new creature right now. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.